Listen, find your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's where we'll be. We continue our study through learning what love is. And I'm taking it from about chapter 4 on, and then we'll plug it all back in, I promise. But today we are at the topic of love always trusts, or love believes all things this morning. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I'd just like a show. You raise your hand if you would say yes to this. And obviously, if you would not, don't raise your hand, right? That's pretty simple. If I told you last night, God visited me, would you believe me? Raise your hand. And if I told you He spoke to me in a very clear and audible voice, would you believe me? Yes. If I told you that He took me out of my bed and He brought me up into the heavens and He let me see a glimpse, would you believe me? Ooh, hands are dropping. If I told you that on that journey, we walked and talked and chit-chatted like old friends, perhaps, and He told me the exact time and day His Son Jesus was to return, but He swore me to secrecy that I could not utter it. Would you believe me? Oh, man, I'm getting chopped right there. That's it. That's everybody's out of the game now. I mention this because, there's been very prominent TV preachers who have told that story. And thousands have believed. And so we come to this next characteristic of what God's love looks like, or is to look like, in the context of this body we call the church, and that is that love always trusts, or that it believes all things. You obviously don't believe me. You're sinners. Because Paul said you are to believe all things and trust. I'm glad you're shaking your head no, because I'm preaching a bunch of junk right there. But let's face it, I mean, if we look about it, our lives today, it is hard to believe some of the things that we are being told, right? Whether it's through the news, whether it's out of a person's mouth, specifically this time of year, politicians, anybody, even preachers, are suspect. Amen? All of the attack ads coming out now before the elections, folks are exaggerating all kinds of things, plain out lying about their opponents just to sway your mind, right? Crazy stuff is coming out all over social media about this one doing this and that one doing that. And sadly, there are so many of the masses who don't think or don't want to, I don't know what it is, or choose not to do their homework and examine those statements. Rather, they would just believe it on face value, and many times later only find out that it was a lie. And then what gets me the most, I guess, is when it's proven to be a lie, there's never any apologies. Nobody goes to jail. It was just a misunderstanding between us. We have a new term for this. It's been floating around. It's called fake news. It goes all the way back. You remember in elementary school? You remember when you would go around the kids and you would hear and spread rumors about other kids? Come on now. It was a game. It was. Since we've been forgiven. But listen, nobody dared to go up to the kid whom the rumor was about and ask them about this. No. It was better just to keep the rumor going and you just tell as many people as you could, because that would win you some sort of status. Like you knew something that somebody else didn't. I'm just going to share this crumb with you. And we would keep going with the rumor. Today, sadly enough, somebody could come up to you and tell you that I was did something inappropriate, let's say with a woman, another woman outside of my wife. I'm always doing inappropriate things in front of her, but with another woman. And odds are, now listen, this is sad. Odds are that one of you would run with that story. And one of you perhaps would post it. One would call the newspapers about it. And I'd have protesters on my sidewalk in a matter of time. Isn't that sad? But true. Are we really that gullible? Are we really that desperate for attention? Is the truth about a matter really even welcomed any longer? Has it come down to whatever sells the story for the front page? Listen, this applies to your theology as well. If someone tells you that there's something in the Bible or Jesus said this or it's written here, you probably should check it. I shouldn't take out the word probably. You should check it. Don't be lazy. Check the verse and the context of what is being said. If you rely on somebody's title to carry the weight of truth for you, friend, you will be deceived. Why? Because understand this, church. Behind every title is a human being with a sin problem. And they are very capable of being deceived and deceiving others. If anybody says that something's God in God's word, please look it up. Know the truth for yourself. Don't just trust them. Don't trust me. I'll let you down somewhere, I know. But you never know. I could be whipping up my own little batch of Kool-Aid back here, trying to serve it. When you hear the news, when we hear the news or read an article or see a Facebook post, I'm learning to not accept it or believe it on face value at all. Understand that whoever is writing that perhaps is just writing it from one side, their side most times, and there is most likely some sort of personal agenda behind it. So we must do our diligence to check into the facts, into the evidence, so that we then can make a proper determination for ourselves, right? So when we bring this caution to our next description of love, we see that Paul writes, love always trusts, or that it believes all things. What could he be saying here? Does he want all of us to just sort of naively believe whatever is being said? Be naive to reality, be naive to a person's capability, even within the church body, to lie to us? Is that what he's saying? In today's world, as I just explained, should I be even cautious of God's word? Should I even be cautious of what the Bible says, of what the apostles wrote? Is it all suspect? And what do I even use to verify truth? Well, listen, church, if you keep asking me so many questions, this sermon's going to last for hours. So let's first look at the general understanding of what Paul writes here and then see if we can apply it today to our lives. At its basic core, this word used for trusts or believes comes from the same word we see used for faith or to have faith in. We see it meaning to believe, to have faith, or to trust in something. And Jesus uses it a lot. I'm going to take you on a little journey. Go back to Matthew chapter 8 with me. Matthew chapter 8. This is the faith of the centurion, right? Let's just read it, verse 5. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only to say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you that no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west, recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion he said, go, let it be done for you as you have, what?
Believed.
And the servant was healed. How quick? At that very moment. Keep that in your brain as we get on with this. But this is this idea of belief, to have faith, to trust in something. Go to Matthew chapter 9. When Jesus heals the two blind men, verse 27, Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he entered the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their eyes were, what? And Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. Another case, this idea of believing, this faith, this trust, this full belief. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you can do it. Go to Matthew 21. We see in verse 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. Some versions say if you believe. And so many, many times in the scriptures, in the gospel specifically, we see this most often spoken by Jesus. And it was him saying, you must have that trust and that belief and that faith in him fully without any doubts. Hard to do these days. It's hard to do these days when we have perhaps been given once, or we gave that degree of trust or faith in another person only to be hurt and betrayed. It kind of leaves a burn mark, scar perhaps, a caution that would make it very hard for you to ever trust like that again. And so this taps on the center, I guess, of this idea, and that is about what we believe in or what we trust in faith in. What or who is the source or the object of that? In other words, what or who am I putting this trust in? I hope that you've come to the conclusion that you can fully, undoubtedly, without any hesitation, trust the Lord. Yes? Amen? That's about two of you. The rest of you need to be saved. But I hope that you have come to this conclusion, I can fully trust God. I can trust the Lord. I hope that there is no doubt in you whatsoever about who he was, who he is, and who he will be, and what he said, and what he did, and what he's doing currently inside of you. I hope there is no doubt in your mind about that right now. If that is not settled, then none of this other stuff is going to matter. We've got to settle that issue and truly, truly believe. You'll never have a firm foundation when your faith and your eternal status is based on possibilities and ifs. Tap the person next to you and tell him, I believe. I watched T.D. Jakes this week. He does that all the time. Do you believe? We need to be telling folks about this, right? Listen, if the Bible was one big lie or conspiracy, don't you think that it would have been exposed by now? Are we really that stupid? Don't you think that credible scientists and archaeologists and all the other ists that are out there would have exposed it by now? Of course they would have. And I say credible because there are a lot of hacks that are out there trying to say all kinds of wacky junk about things and never gets the attention of credible scientists, because it's just opinions and such. I could go in my living room right now and make a YouTube video about all kinds of false claims about the Bible and the apostles and Jesus. And listen, there would be some who would see it and say, aha, I knew it. He said it. The Bible's unbelievable. Did you see that video? Is the source trustworthy? When we're talking about God, shake your head like this. That's the right answer. Yeah. Is Jesus trustworthy as revealed in his word? Yes. Are those 66 books that you hold in your hands reliable and accurate and trustworthy to you? Yes. If not, we got to meet for coffee. Listen, you believe in things in this world today with a lot less credibility behind them. Why not believe in God's word? Some will believe a story from CNN or the Wall Street Journal faster than anything, but because God's word might call you out on your sin, well, that's got holes in it. It's man-made. It's this. What did Jesus say in John 14, 1? Don't know? You better look. Let not your hearts, I know I just had to start it for you, be troubled. Believe in God. Who? What? Believe also in me. Do you believe, church? The source of the information has much to do with the trustworthiness of the information. And so that's dealing with the words from Jesus himself as recorded for us in the Bible. It is truly our standard of truth, right? It's what we measure whatever else we call truth by or against. But we're still stuck with what Paul wrote here. What about us? What about the context of the church as the apostle writes there in Corinthians for us? What does it mean to believe all things or to trust in this circle of life, in this circle of the church? Does it mean that I am to give you, or you are to give me, the same credibility as you would give the words of Jesus? Some of you all left the boat when I was asking you where I went last night. You're out quick. Why? Because just something in your head is like, good. Here's where we proceed. With caution. On face value, it appears that Paul is saying yes. If a brother or sister in Christ comes to you and says something is so, then you trust that it is so. You give them the benefit of it being so. End of story. That seems to be what he's saying. Love always trusts. It believes all things. That's what he said, right? In my spirit, I would like to follow that, but in my flesh, it kind of gets a little sketchy. Why? Because experience and life wisdom has taught me to be more cautious with people who tell me things. Why? Because we lie. Yeah? You lie. And if you're shaking your head, no, you're lying right now. We understand the nature of human, of ourselves. Come on now, if you get a phone call late at night and you're like, and you bump in the morning, they say, oh, I called you last night. Oh, you did? I must have missed it. You're lying, because you have caller ID and you knew exactly who it was and you hung it up. Liars. Yeah. We understand this. We understand the human capacity to deceive. And so if Paul is telling me that I always trust you and that I believe all things that you say, woo, I got to pick that up a little bit. I got to kind of open it and see what he's meaning. So listen, there's a lot of commentaries. I know they're not the word of God, but they are helpful in shedding some light. Let me just read a couple for you. Would you let me? You really not no choice. So in Barnes' commentary, it says this. Now listen, you got to catch this. The whole scope of the connection and the argument here requires us to understand this of the conduct of others. It cannot mean that the man who is under the influence of love is a man of universal credulity, meaning they're always... Is that a fly on me? I'm going to karate chop it. It is a man of universal credulity, meaning whatever they say goes. That he makes no discrimination in regard to things to be believed, and as is prone to believe a falsehood as the truth, or that he is at no pains to inquire what is true, what is false, what is right, and what is wrong. But it must mean that in regard to the conduct of others, there is a disposition to put the intent, to put the best construction on it. To believe that they may be actuated by good motives, and that they intend no injury, and that there is a willingness to suppose, as far as can be, that what is done consistently with friendship, good feeling, and virtue. Love produces this because it rejoices in the happiness and virtue of others and will not believe the contrary except on strong evidence. Interesting. Right here, this guy is saying, we don't just take everybody at their word without ever investigating or perhaps questioning the truth. Another writer says, believes all things means unsuspiciously believes that all is not palpably false, all that it can with a good conscience believe to the credit of another. One more, Gill writes this, believes all things means that they are to be believed, all that God says in his word, all his truth and all his promises, and even sometimes in hope against hope, as Abraham did, rely upon the power, faithfulness, and other perfections of God, though such a man will not believe every spirit, every preacher and teacher, nor any but such as agree with the scriptures of truth, the standard of faith and practice, nor will he believe every word of man, which is the character of a weak and foolish man. Indeed, a man of charity or love is willing to believe all the good things reported of men. He is very credulous of such things, and is unwilling to believe ill reports of persons or any ill of men, unless it is open and glaring and is well supported and there is full evidence of it. He is very incredulous in this respect. So that one saying, as I just mapped out for us, we believe God's word. That is our standard. We trust in it fully. But when it comes to man, we balance that, or we take it and we sift it through the truth of God's word. And when whatever is being told to us is negative about another person, unless there is credible evidence to support that, we choose out of love to believe them. So let me try and sew this all together. When it comes to the teachings and the words of God, we put our full trust. Whatever standard of measurement that is for you to verify, I'm telling you, you won't find anything more true than his word. But when it comes to the testimony of a person in the body, we give them the benefit of believing the good unless there is evidence to the contrary. When someone comes to me and says and has a negative story or something to tell, I try to respond by saying, Are you sure? I find it hard to believe that so-and-so would say that, or what am I doing? I'm projecting my love and my trust and my belief in that person who they are targeting over what is being told to me until such time as I receive evidence that it is true. It is protective by nature, isn't it? What if somebody came to you and said, hey, you know what? I jumped off my roof last night and I flew. My response would be, really? No way. What was it like? Instead of saying, what? Nobody flies. Are you weird? What were you smoking? I mean, come on, right? But it is that a sense, it is that my protective response in not killing that relationship, that conversation, that love between perhaps this person by totally shutting him down at that moment. Rather, I am appearing as such to listen and to hear this story. Tell me, how high did you go? Where? And that's not because I'm necessarily believing that they're flying, but I am protecting the relationship with them. Here's a different example. In church, modern day proclaimed faith healers. Guys like Benny Hinn, Kenny Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Oral Roberts and his son Richard, Peter Popoff, Rod Parsley, Rodney Howard Brown, all of these. These are the guys that we see on TV, and they're having huge miracle services. Piles of wheelchairs and crutches are gathering on the sides. Some will send you for a small donation, miracle healing water, healing handkerchiefs that have been prayed over. Some want you to stretch your arms towards the TV. Some want you to send in your faith seed offering into their ministry. They are in the body. Do we take them at their word? Do we take them at their word that they have these miraculous powers, that they are true, and that they have this supernatural power to heal if you can just make it into their healing services and such? Some of you are saying no. Some of their stories, some of their testimonies are just some of the stuff that you see on TV that's being promoted as God and all of these things are highly suspicious. And there have been others who have gone in and investigated and looked at such authors as a guy named Hank Hanegraaff, who exposed a lot of Benny Hinn stuff as false and deceiving. Discovered a lot of questionable stuff. And so we hear this and we become skeptical. Can God heal through a miracle? Yes. Absolutely. Does he use guys like these who make millions off of that possibility? Highly suspicious. We have to see what the full counsel of God says about this and weigh it then with the teachings, such as from the Apostle John, who told us to test the spirits, right? And so if somebody attends one of these miracles healing services and comes back healed and it lasts and it doesn't sort of take this progression of more seed money or this sort of the healing is going to come in stages and all that and all this other business. If they are truly healed in that moment from head to toe, then praise God. But some of these clowns are teaching your healing will come in stages. As you continue to exercise your faith and your wallet, when we saw in the Gospels and we see the apostles in Acts, when that healing came, instant, complete. So love believes all things. It always trusts the things of God. But the things of man must be weighed against the things of God. But listen, never to shame, never to blast them with holes and all these sorts of things in their story. Mostly, I think it is protective. Protective of you for any future attempts of deception upon you, perhaps. But also, maybe, that you could warn another. Without then, this is where it gets sticky, church, without getting into details or shaming the person whom you are warning them from, we must use our words wisely out of love, right? If you came to me and asked me about another person and I just kind of politely said, you know, just that face, be careful, make sure you know all the details of what it is, check all that's being said. Hey, you know, sometimes people ask me, what about this author? What about this book? And if I go like this, I'm practicing what I'm preaching. Because there's something hinky going on with that person, right? Or so. But out of love, I'm not going to say, oh, no, this, yeah. Unless it's like a bold face something. But check. It's a nice way of saying perhaps proceed with caution because there's some history there. We can protect each other, like we learned last week in what love is, that it protects, right? We don't have to share all the details and all the gossip and all the little dirt that's going on, but we can warn enough that they are then protected, perhaps. That is the protective nature of love in the church. And in this day and age in our church, friends, we must test everything against God's word. What I'm telling you now, test it. Question it. Search out the truth of the matter. And believe as we still show love. Amen. Father, we thank you that you have given us wisdom and knowledge. We're not foolish and gullible and just an easy target in this world. But through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you warn us and convict us when we are hearing things that are untrue or a stretch, perhaps, of the true, which is really untrue. Father, help us to be discerning more and more. Help us to take the words that we hear and the teachings that we hear even throughout the week from other teachers, Lord, and do our homework and our diligence to check it, to not rely on somebody's position and role and title. But also, Lord, when it comes to us, may we be quick to love. As your scripture says, slow to speak, quick to listen, Father. May we, where we can, Lord, give the benefit of love and doubt and trust and belief and not doubt. Father, help us in this as we grow together into your body, into the head, which is Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Listen, friend, if you struggle with this, maybe there's an issue going on. Maybe you've got something dealing with in your life, your family, and you just need some counsel. Please talk to somebody before you leave. It doesn't have to be me. But come to that understanding and that get some direction, perhaps, and some wisdom from somebody on the outside looking in on how to deal with issues. Listen, if it's about this, if you got an issue trusting and having confidence in God's word, please talk to somebody before you leave. Let's deal with it. Let's get it out. Let's ask all the questions so that you can walk out knowing that you know that you know that you know. Amen.